Praise and thanks be to the Lord. I could indeed sit for hours and delve in the sermon and in the word of the Lord. For the thoughts of God are precious. And the psalmist says in one place, if one wanted to list them all, they are too numerous, but they are wonderful. Yesterday evening is still on my mind, just like this morning. What struck me this morning was that Brother Branham said, every child of God is born spiritually into the granary of God to share in the food of the Lord. Just like Jesus, as the Son of God in Bethlehem, the word Bethlehem itself means bread house. And so we, as children of God, are born into it and may feast on the rich goods of our God and are watered with delight as with a river. On the other hand, my thoughts go to the connection that we have found, the connection to the work of God in this time. After all, today is significant for us in many ways. Today, in a few hours, it will be 7 full years since Brother Branham passed from time into eternity. It is a day on which we, and I in particular, remember all the works of God's grace that He has bestowed on me. It is a day on which we try to remember what a grace, what a privilege we have been granted to hear, to see, and receive what God has ordained for His people. We may say that even before His servant was taken by God, we had already found the connection to God's work, and that it could only be a continuation of what God had begun. Our hearts are therefore filled with great joy and with deep peace. We do not need to run back and forth, not to go to and fro, to ask what someone now means or has to say, but the Lord Himself has spoken to us, and we have understood His speaking. He gave us His instructions, and we paid attention to them. And that is one of the greatest things that can be granted to a person by grace. For we did not go at our own discretion, but led by the Spirit of God, guided according to the word of the Lord. For this time, we were allowed to see and receive the riches of the knowledge and wisdom of God. Again and again, when I read in the Holy Scriptures about people who have been connected to the work of God in their time, and the whole Bible is full of them, then the question comes to all of us, whether we have found it and in what way we have found the connection to the work of God in this time. We know that everywhere, in all churches and fellowships, there is talk of God's work. We know that everywhere there's talk of the blessings. We know that the coming of the Lord is preached everywhere. We are all well aware of that. But our question goes deeper. Our question goes further. How do we know that we have got the connection to the work of God in this time? If we take these instances from the Holy Scriptures, Brother Schwill mentioned a Simeon, and of him it is written that it was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. And the same Spirit who gave him this revelation led him at the right hour and time to the place where he could see with his own eyes what had been revealed to him. And this I will tell you. No one needed to tell a Simeon to rejoice. He rejoiced. He saw with his own eyes what he had longed for, what he had waited for, what he had been looking for. And he could say, Lord, now you let your servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen the salvation of God. We heard about Hannah. She served God day and night in his temple, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And then she spoke to all present about this consolation of Israel. What might the, I almost used the word parsons, excuse this expression, one should not use it at all. But what might these people have thought in the temple? They felt that their service had been interrupted when this woman began to speak to all those present, not from a pulpit, certainly not, but through the Spirit. She spoke of what was going on in the house of God, not of what the priests were doing. That has always happened. No, she spoke of what God was now doing in that place, and actually revealed in simplicity that the scriptures had been fulfilled. But who listened to it? And we see, when the shepherds came with this announcement, who did believe them? But the wisdom of God is justified in all things. Not to the wise and prudent was it revealed, but to the babes who were of a willing heart to believe and receive it. There are other instances in the Holy Scripture. Let us think of a John on the Isle of Patmos. What a glorious transition, what a connection he had found to receive what was still outstanding in the significance of the plan of salvation, to write it down so that we can read it today. God always made sure that he could reveal what he had to say to his servants and prophets. How many have rejected what Paul said? How many there have been who did not believe what John had to report? But in the same way, there have been people who have kept the words of the prophecy of this book in a fine and good heart, and had paid attention and still pay attention to what is written in it. It is not given to everyone, but the elect of God. That is a word which we like to hear, but which others do not like to hear, because they immediately add that God would not be just if he chose some and did not choose others. We cannot change anything about the righteousness of God. It is written, many are called, and few are chosen, and no man can change that. It is only important that we understand that if God has given us the grace to receive his revealed word in this last time, to get connected to his work, to say yes to what he does, for he is a rock, perfect is all his work, and blessed is he who does not take offense at him. We find this word blessed several times in the Holy Scriptures, especially in Revelation 1 and in Revelation 22, and then also in Matthew chapter 5. Here in Revelation chapter 1, it says in verse 3, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." The people who read the word and who hear the words of the prophecy of this book, and who keep those things which are written therein, they are blessed. Now I ask you the question, what has God revealed in this time? Is it not the words of the prophecy of this book? Has not God revealed the seven church age messages in their significance of the plan of salvation? Has not God revealed and made known the epochs of time? Did not God name the seven angels? Did he not give light? Of course. Has he not revealed the seven seals? Have not the words of the prophecy of this book been revealed in our very time? And when it is written here, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein." Here it is not about an interpretation, but of the words of the prophecy itself. And just as God used the prophets to reveal God's plan of salvation to them, so God used prophets to reveal, when the realization of the plan of salvation had come, whether it was a John who prepared the way of the Lord at the first coming of Christ, or whether it was a brother Branham, to whom it was said, just as John was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, so you are sent with a message to forerun the second coming of Christ. If we say here, it is a fool who cannot believe what God has confirmed in this time in such a unique way, and I have often enough asked the question, when preachers thought they had to object what they can show of a divine calling, of a divine confirmation and legitimation. We all know that the ministry of Brother Branham has been confirmed in such a way that even if I did not believe what this man spoke, I would have enough sense to keep my mouth shut and my lips pressed together before I would bring a word across my lips to say anything against the Lord's anointed. For it is still written, "Do not touch my anointed, and do my prophets no harm." Men of God, prophets, anointed ones of the Lord, have always spoken on behalf of God. And whoever had an ear to hear could hear what the Spirit was saying to the churches. If you think about it, that people in this time are prophesying something of themselves, are pretending something, and then they think they hear what the Spirit is saying. But the Spirit that the Bible speaks of is the Spirit of God, who rested on the prophets of God to make known the mystery of God. It is not just any spirit that we can do with as we please, but the Spirit of God who took possession of the prophets to speak through their mouths, to reveal what he had to say. So when it is written that we should listen to what the Spirit says to the churches, then it does not mean that we should run here or there where it is prophesied in supposed wisdom. No, it means that we have the spirit of prophecy itself, that we can discern where men are working and where the Spirit of God is working, that we can discern where men are prophesying for their own advantage, prophesying for their own benefit, to get others under their spell, to get them under their grip, or whether the words of the prophecy of this book are being revealed and put upon the lampstand to bring the children of God into the glorious liberty of the children of God. There is a big difference here. And here it doesn't say, listen to the prophecy that is brought back and forth. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the prophecy of this book. Not they that hear what is said here or there, but they that hear the words of the prophecy of this book. And those who do not hear the words of the prophecy of this book are not even able to bring a true prophecy given by God, because they have not received the Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of prophecy. But you have certainly already heard that people are made to believe that God is in their midst and that everyone prophesies whatever comes into his mind. And people do not discern and think that the Lord is in their midst. But here it is written, blessed are they that read and they that hear the words of the prophecy of this book, and keep those things which are written therein. Such people are already blessed. In the Gospel of John, or especially, I might want to go straight to Matthew 5. Here, in his Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus utters some sentences that are significant. I would like to read them perhaps from the Luther translation. It says here, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit. We know very well what the Holy Scripture says to the age of Laodicea. You say, we are rich and have need of nothing. And the Lord says, you are miserable, blind and naked. But here it says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Why is that? He who recognizes his spiritual poverty is in the right position to accept the riches of the revelation of Almighty God. Whoever says of himself, I am rich, I have everything, will put his hands in his lap and look down on himself complacently, without accepting what God still has to give. That is why the Lord Jesus here praises those who are spiritually poor. Brothers and sisters, we have all recognized that we all lacked and missed out spiritually. Yes, on proper reflection, we have found that we have been spiritually poor, although we thought we were rich, and especially all those who were in the circles of the full gospel. How were we convinced that we were the richest spiritually, that we were the most advanced, that we had the most. And after we heard the revelation of the real and true Word of God, it fell like scales from our eyes, and what we had called riches, we then realized they were not the riches of God. They were things we had been taught, and this in abundance, but they were not what we needed and what God had prepared for us. And very soon we realized we are spiritually poor, but now the Lord prepared a table in the presence of our enemies. We no longer had to worry about any hostility. Right at the beginning, the Lord God said, I will put enmity between your seed and her seed, and this enmity will exist as long as there will be people on earth. The people of God are separated from all others. There is enmity. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We have all experienced that, haven't we? We were spiritually poor, and what have we been given? The kingdom of heaven, with all the riches of the grace of our God, with all the revelations, with all the hidden things that were brought into the light of God during this time. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We have also understood that the kingdom of heaven does not come with outward gestures. We have understood that it is within us, for it is what God has done by grace in our hearts. Christ in us, the hope of glory. In him are hidden all the treasures of the wisdom and knowledge of God. It goes on to say, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. What about mourn here? We all know that when a person mourns, then something has happened and one is saddened, one is grieved, one suffers. And we have been able to see through the revelation of the Word what damage and what sorrow has been done to the Church of the Living God. What was right had been stolen from her, and human things had been put in its place. We have all suffered and mourned for ourselves, for the Church of God, in general, for the overall condition of the people of God in this time. And it says here, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. We mourned, but we have also been comforted, not with cheap comfort from men, but by the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who has searched and revealed the deep things of God. We have not only mourned, but endured many a suffering. We have also suffered at the hands of others. We have been misunderstood. Yes, all kinds of things have been said to us. Deep sorrow has come upon us, but we have been comforted. And I think of Isaiah 40, where it is written, comfort, comfort my people. That is the comfort that the living God has given to his own in this time. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem and say, your iniquity is pardoned, and your sin is atoned, and eternal righteousness is manifest. These are things we cannot forget. It is an abiding, divine comfort. Then it goes on to say, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. We know the first and the second are necessary to reach the third. When we have realized that we are spiritually poor and that we need the riches of God, when we have mourned and when this divine comfort has come to us, then we have been formed. You all know, suffering shapes people, and when we mourn, we are shaped inwardly. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And it is this comfort that means so much to us. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. To the first two verses here, we can say yes. We know that these are steps and epochs that we ourselves have gone through in our spiritual life. The question is whether these first two epochs could have worked in us what we are now reading about here. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I would almost say, what is true for the first two must then be true for the third. What is true for verses 1 and 2, if it applies for us, then the next verse must also be fulfilled in our lives. Can we say that we have become meek by the grace of God? After all, we all want to inherit the earth. We want to reign with Christ on this earth. And so it is written. But the promise is, and the condition attached to it is, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What about this meekness in our lives? We have mourned. We have been spiritually poor. The kingdom of heaven has come to us with all the riches of God. We have been comforted in many ways. But what about this? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. It goes on here. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And here we are again. The Lord has prepared a table in our time with the most precious and glorious food. They shall be filled. They shall be watered. Yes, God has arranged it all this way. Here we are talking about the people who are blessed. Many ask themselves, will I inherit blessedness? The word blessedness consists of only two words put together. The word blessed stands alone here. Whoever wants to participate in the blessedness must already be able to receive the beatitude here. He must be able to look into the word of the Lord as into a mirror. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. God has given us hunger. He has given us thirst. He has rained down food from heaven. For so we have heard it this morning in a prayer, following on from the word, from the letter to the Hebrews. Do not reject him who speaks to you from heaven. The Lord has spoken to us in manifold ways through His revealed word. For they shall be filled. There's more. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. That is also a condition. And the word blessed is pronounced here. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. It goes on here. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. It is written that we are clean because of the word that the Lord has spoken to us. This was addressed to the disciples at that time. Jesus addressed them with the words, "Ye are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you." And also this we have heard in the word of introduction this morning. No one spoke like Jesus. And the people who had received his speaking were cleansed by the washing of the word. They were cleansed because of the word that the Lord spoke to them. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Then it goes on to say, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. What does this word mean? Blessed are the peacemakers. Here in the original text, the word is written, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Peacemakers, people filled with the peace of God, who avoid strife like the plague, who are simply inwardly focused in the depth of their hearts on one thing only, holding fast the peace of God through the bond of love among the saints, as it is written here. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. It goes on, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. All this should be revealed in our lives. And it must be revealed by the grace of our God. We cannot simply read in the last book of the Bible, blessed are those who read, but we must also read here, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are those who seek after righteousness. And then in conclusion it is written, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Now, the last verse seems to be very familiar to us. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you for my sake. They do not revile us for our sake. They revile us for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus. And therefore, we are blessed, pronounced by the holy mouth of the Lord. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you for my sake and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. And then, to crown all this, the Lord says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Isn't this wonderful? Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. In other words, you will be greatly rewarded in heaven. You will get the reward in heaven, not already here on earth. Sometimes we wish that the Lord would make the decision by the lights and perfections and somehow legitimize us here already before men. No, here it is written, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. A reward is prepared for us all in glory. If we persevere and walk this shameful path with Jesus, no matter what the cost, we are ready to take all upon us with the help of God. We cannot do otherwise. We cannot go back. Yes, I would like to say, we can't even look back anymore. There is only a looking up. Brother Wiegratz said, I am no longer interested in the storm from the left or right, only in the wind that comes down from above. For thus it is written, at Pentecost there was a mighty roaring, as of a rushing mighty wind that was coming, not from somewhere in the temple at Jerusalem, but from the heavenly glory. And the whole house was filled, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, which set upon every one, and they began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And the Holy Scripture says, do we not hear all these men proclaiming the great deeds of God? They were not so much thinking of their own testimony. They were proclaiming the great deeds of their God. For this purpose, God gave them tongues of fire. For this purpose, God gave them the Holy Spirit, first to recognize what was given to them by God, and then to proclaim the great deeds of their God. What would be more beautiful than if we experienced something like that here, that the Spirit of God sits down on each one, and when we begin to speak, whether in our own language or in another, that we do not get lost with ourselves, not with intro and outro in the prayer, and not with repetitions, but that we proclaim quite plainly the great deeds of our God, so that all who listen to such a prayer will not be bored, but will be carried along to offer their due thanks also to the living God. We think of Mary in this context. We heard about her this morning in the sermon. And it is written here in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 from verse 44. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. When thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Dear brothers and sisters, what do we feel? What is it that moves us with joy when we see all the prophecies fulfilled before our eyes, when we are shown the faithfulness of our God again and again, when we know that the same God who sent his angel to John on the Isle of Patmos, the same God sent his angel to his servant and prophet at this time to deliver him the divine commission. It is not the work of a man, but because the time was fulfilled, God sent His word to make us well. Because the time was come, God revealed what had been hidden. Not a brother Branham had wished it, nor a Zacharias had wished it, nor a John on the Isle of Patmos. But what was it? God knows what He is doing. He knows how He does it. And His doing, as we heard it, is perfect. Does anyone want to tell me that God did not act rightly when He sent His angel to His servant in May 1946? Will anyone tell me that God did not act rightly when He came down with a pillar of light on the 11th of June 1933? Will anyone say the same God who was with all the prophets and who established His work not only for time but for eternity? Will anyone tell me that God has to correct Himself for the sake of our stubbornness? No, and again no. Blessed is he who does not take offense at Him, and he that receiveth His servants as His servants, and he that treadeth not down the word which they bring, and tears it in pieces, but receiveth the word of God with reverence, that he may offer unto the Lord the thanks due. Here it is written, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Dear brothers and sisters, the revealed word of God has set something in motion in our hearts. It was like a greeting from the sanctuary of God. It was the answer of God for the people of God in this time. And whoever is born of God, something leaps within him. Hallelujah! Something was happening. We felt it. It was a glorious greeting, namely the announcement of the fulfillment of the promises of God. What was it back then? At that time, at the first coming of the Lord, the scriptures were fulfilled, and the witnessing of the fulfillment of the word of God caused life and joy and blessedness. What shall it be with us today? It was Brother Branham who once said, I do not understand how people can sit still when they see the supernatural work of God day after day. He said, I don't know how you can sit still. Brothers and sisters, soon we will ask ourselves the same question. When will something leap in us by the Spirit of God? We know God has visited His people in a wonderful way. And do you know what the angel then says? Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And then there was nothing left for Mary, or did even Elizabeth say it? And then Mary pronounces the following words, My soul does magnify the Lord. There was no more need for an intro to the prayer. Lord, we are gathered here to do this and that. No more intro at all with gather. My soul exalts the Lord. That was the response in her heart. That was what was flowing out of her, wrought by the Spirit. And she goes on to say, And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. That's what we all need. Something needs to leap within us. And when this movement of God comes, then something will gush forth without any intro and outro. Prophetic words we will utter, praising and glorifying the God of heaven, who has looked down upon the lowliness of his people and who has sounded a shout of joy in this time to let us know the announcement of the realization of all the promises. My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. This is something wonderful. These are people who received the promise of God. People who themselves had the connection to the work of God in their time. Something was leaping in them. Hallelujah. You know what we mean. There was life in them. Before that, nothing is written. But with that moment came life. Something leaped with joy. And then came worship. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Just now we read, blessed are, blessed are. Here somebody says, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. And why? The answer is in the next verse. For he that is mighty has done to me great things. In what does blessedness consist? Not in a pious conceit. Because the Almighty has done great things to me. Hallelujah! That is something wonderful and glorious. We confess, God has looked upon the lowliness of his people, and we confess, he, the Almighty, has done great things on us, according to his promise for this time. And let whoever be angry about it, I suggest that we rejoice and be glad about it, because we know what God has done on us. We know about the time when we sat in darkness, and we can also see when God brought us out, there was light, and in his light we see the light. Blessed art thou, because you believed. And from now on, everyone will call you blessed, because the Almighty has done great things on you. Brothers and sisters, we all have the seed of God, the seed of the Word of God. For this time, we have received the promises of God. There is nothing left for the Lord to do but to give us the same testimony. O blessed are you who you believed, in spite of all the contradictions of men. You who have considered my word true and important enough to let all else go and hold fast to the sayings of my mouth. The Lord says to us, blessed are you who you believed in this time. Blessed are you, because the Almighty has done great things on me, on all of us. No one should be found in our midst who says in words or in thoughts to himself or to others, the Lord has not yet done great things on me. Such a person should not be found in our midst. And if there is someone here today who is still in doubt as to whether God has done great things on him, then I suggest that we all enter into such earnest prayer that the last one in our midst may be seized by the work of God, and that the revelation of Jesus Christ may become more precious to him than anything else in this world, and that we might receive what we have looked at from the Word of God by the grace of our Lord. My eyes still fall on the prayer of Zechariah. I just love prayers that are so tied to the fulfillment of the prophecies of the Holy Scripture. It says here in Luke 1, from verse 47, oh no, that's 67 already. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. Do you notice how quickly these men and women, filled with the Holy Spirit, had the word of the prophets and the promises of God in their mouths? They knew, here God fulfills what he had promised. It says, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. What has God promised for this time? Has he not said, Before the great and terrible day of the Lord come, I will send you Elijah the prophet. Who will change it? It is already done. And the Lord would say today, Elijah has come, and they have done with him as they pleased. But the testimony of the word of God that he brought has found faith in all those who are destined to be the bride church. God has taken Elijah, but the message of Elijah and the word of the Lord, all this remained in the way God gave it by grace. We are very great about it, that God has given us this opportunity to keep his word in the way he has revealed it. How often have I been asked back and forth, what do you think of this and that statement? How do you see this and that connection? I only ever have one answer to that. When the time comes, God will do as he has set out to do. And he needs no counselor. He needs no one. He himself is counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And all of us who believe with all our heart in this time, the revealed word of our God, we have only one thing to do, to go forward with a joyful heart to what the Lord will yet do among his own, without telling him this or that shall be done. We know, Brother Branham spoke of the rapturing faith, that we shall be taken up. I tell you the plain truth. I have not thought about it 1 hour in my life. This much I know. Before the rapture comes, the Lord will work the rapturing faith. How? I don't care. I know that he will work it. Otherwise, we could not be there at all. And do you think that our God has revealed all this to us in vain, in order to let it fail at the last minute? No, and again no. The same God who anointed our eyes to see what is happening in this time, to get the connection to his divine work in this time. And I believe that has been the greatest thing that has come to the people of God. Just be honest. And if we knew all the mysteries and had all the knowledge, but were not connected by the Spirit of God to the working of God, then all the knowledge would blow us up like a balloon and would be of no use to us at all. We would be bossy, go around arguing and think we know everything better. But on the contrary, God has done no such thing. God first connected us. He has given us connection to his work by grace. Sometimes it is a little comfort for me. I'm not saying this now to give myself a new courage, but this is what I told my wife and those who knew me more closely at that time. I actually saw Brother Brenham when he went home on the 24th, when he went into glory, into the clouds of heaven. I don't know if I ever said that publicly. In the morning, on December the 25th, 1965, it was probably the first thing I told my wife and those who can remember it. I don't know. Some hands are going up. I didn't know at the time what it meant. I only got the news on the 5th of January, 1966, from Brother Armbruster, that Brother Brenham had gone home. And when I saw Brother Brenham in the clouds of heaven, the clouds were divided. It looked like heaven was a little angry. The clouds went into each other. Some were lighter, some were darker. And when I saw Brother Brenham there in the clouds, I made the statement, "But Brother Brenham is not the Son of Man. What is he doing there in the clouds?" And not suspecting anything, not knowing anything, but God in His grace let it all be known. When I think that there are some who would like to be in Elisha, then you know what I think about that. God Himself has given His people the connection in this time. It is about nothing other than remaining faithful in God and in His Word, to interpret nothing, to explain nothing, to know nothing better, only one thing, to wait and see what the Lord will do. Perhaps we should tell all those who are not from here that we are in a great expectation here. We do not know what God will do. We do not know when He will do it. But this expectation is to be increased by the grace of God until something has happened. And when it happens, we will let you know. We don't know how much time we have left. We don't know when the Lord will come. He has not given me a mandate to calculate when the time is up. Brother Brenham said in the sermon this morning, some people think they have to adjust God's clock. Again and again they want to help. Don't worry. The clock of God is to the second and even more. Everything is well kept in the hands of our God. And He will complete His work. He will give the rapturing faith. He will add those who still belong to it. And then there will be a festive gathering with our God. Blessed are we, because we have been given access to the promises of God and to the work of God in this time. That is the supply of divine life. There is a big difference when people go along and say, "I have eternal life," and hold their noses high that it rains into them and know nothing of the working and blessing of God. Then it is quite different when people are here who in all humility, in all simplicity, belong to those who say, "We are poor in spirit, we have nothing to show," and then sit down at the richly laid table of their God and eat so that our hearts are feel good. For that is how it was with all of us. When Brother Wigrath said, excuse me for saying this, he will forgive me, but when he said that he now felt something in his stomach, and also at the last Christmas, then I thought to myself, perhaps it comes from the blessed meals at this time, because it is the stomach, but this can't happen to him, maybe to others. But the following thought comes to me now. We are sitting at a wonderful meal with our God. Everything is ready. No stomach is upset. Everything is well. And the more we enjoy of God's food, the greater our appetite becomes. And we say, "Lord, when is the meeting again?" And we always look at the clock. We are people who look at the clock before the service, not during the service. There are far too many who look at a clock during the service. We look before to know when it starts. We don't care when it ends, because we want to be blessed with the blessing of Almighty God. Blessed and praised be the name of the Lord. Amen.